All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the webinar about Markdown. I'm going to go ahead and get started here in just a second. And I just want to thank you all for taking a little bit of time out of your Friday or Saturday morning. If you are way out there in the Australia area, I know that we've got a few people that are always interested in tuning in from there. So it looks like it's 10:02. So we are going to go ahead and get started. Hello, everybody. Dustin Hartzler here from yourwebsiteengineer.com. And today we are going to explore the wonderful world of Markdown. And it is the new way to write HTML. And I'm saying it's a new way to write HTML, but you can still use the old way. You can use this new way. And I don't necessarily use Markdown when it comes to writing actual code or developing themes or templates for my website. I actually use Markdown when it comes to writing blog posts or show notes. And I think it's going to be very, very powerful. It's going to, I think, save a lot of time. And that's why I'm so excited about sharing this information today. I started on just kind of tinkering with it. And I was like, I probably won't use it, but I just want to learn how it works, how to use it. And it turns out that I have saved tremendous amounts of time and I love it. I am absolutely in love with using Markdown. So let's go ahead and get started. So a couple things that we want to share today are what is Markdown, how to write Markdown, how this will benefit you, and then some software that we can use. There's going to be some software that we can use for our computers, and then there's also some software that we can use within WordPress itself. So that's really cool. We're going to cover all that. We'll do a live demo. I'll show you exactly how this works. But let's go ahead and define what is Markdown. Now, Markdown is a writing tool that allows you to write plain text while you tag your text with formatting. It's much more readable than HTML, and it just makes it so much easier when typing it. You don't have to use your keyboard. I mean, it saves a lot of time. And this was, Markdown was actually created by Daring Fireball, and I think John Gruber was the one from Daring Fireball that actually created it. But he quoted, "The idea is that Markdown formatted document should be published as is, as plain text, without looking like it's been marked up with tags or formatting." And we'll see as we continue to go along, like you can see that things get tagged as H1s, things can be added as links, all these different pieces, but you will not actually, the document is still readable. You don't have to scroll through and look through an HREF or an AHREF or an image SRC tag, all those different types of things. So that's what makes Markdown such a valuable tool. Now, we're going to be using simple punctuation to format our text. And so there is honestly just a handful of different syntaxes that we have to learn and memorize. And then they're going to become second nature to you. And they're much easier than trying to use the shift comma or shift period to get the brackets. And it's just, it makes typing so much easier. So why should we write in Markdown? The formatting stays where it should. It is exactly as you place it. Sometimes when you will write in HTML, if you just write in your WordPress editor window, it will actually wrap tags within p tags. It might wrap things not the way that you want it. So the formatting stays exactly where we say that we want it. It's lightning fast to type. You don't need a mouse. You don't need to highlight a link and go and click on a link button to make it a permalink, those types of things. It's easy to read when it's marked up, and it's very easy to write. So those are just a couple of the benefits. Now, this is going to be, like I said, primarily for blog posts, show notes, anytime that you're writing content within the WordPress dashboard. You can also use this for other uses. You can compose email messages. You can use plain text to-do lists so you can format things. And you can organize notes without fiddling with formatting, all these different things. And you'll see here as we get started, like it's really cool. I really like it. And especially if you are somebody that writes a lot in just the text editor, or you have just a simple a very simple editor that you're writing in a lot, you don't want to have to worry about Word and formatting, all that kind of stuff. Markdown is going to be perfect for you. So let's define some of the styles when it comes to Markdown. So the very first one is a heading, and there's two different ways that you can describe or display what a heading looks like. You can use the pound sign, which we're going to explain right here. Now, if you use one pound sign in front of text, that's going to equal heading number one. So it's the exact same as wrapping it in an H1 tag. And so just think of how easy this is. You put a pound sign, and then you say heading, and then you move on to the next line. You're done. You don't have to say less than sign, H1 greater than sign heading, and then less than sign slash H1, and then greater than sign. I mean, even that's a mouthful to say. And it goes all the way through H6. So if you want a heading H6, you just put 6 pound signs in front of your heading. Then you enter down to the next one. And the cool thing with Markdown is it actually will style and format it for you. And I'll show you that in the example when we get to the live demo. Now, another way that you can do this within the headings is one of the few of the syntaxes that there's multiple different ways to display the same thing. And I personally really like the first level heading and the second level heading shown right here, because that makes it very visual to me when I'm reading through a document that's just written in Markdown. You can easily see, like, oh, this one is double underlined. That means that it's a first level heading. And that double underline is actually the equals sign. So you just line up some equal signs underneath. It doesn't have to be the full length. It just has to be a few equal signs underneath. I like kind of underlining the same amount of length as I have letters, and then it makes heading one and heading two. You just use the dash mark for the second level heading, and it displays that in the second level heading font. The cool part too is you can write all this in Markdown. When you import it into WordPress or import it into your HTML, it's going to automatically grab all the styling that you already have set up with your WordPress theme or your CSS. So that's really cool. So that only works, the underlining only works for the first level heading and the second level heading. Now, you can also emphasize phrases, so you can italicize text or you can bold text. And this is another one that has two different ways that you can do this. You can italicize by using one asterisk or one underscore before and after the text. Either one will do. You just pick one of them, whichever one is most keyboard friendly for you. I normally do the asterisk myself, just because that's just a little bit easier for me to make sure that I'm always hitting that Shift-8, but you can use either one. And then if you want it bold, you double asterisk both of them or double underscore each of the text pieces. Now, this one is probably the most powerful one that I love to use all the time. I was a big component of never actually creating bullet lists in my show notes page because it was such a pain. Because normally I edit in the HTML window, and what I have to do for that is I have to go in and I have to put a UL, and then I have to do I have to wrap each list item in a LI. So that's a less than sign, LI, greater than sign, then the light item, and then you have to close that tag. And it was just a complete pain. And then when you got all your bullet items listed, then you had to put a UL underneath it. Now it's very simple. You can put a dash, a plus sign, or an asterisk. Any three of those work. I like to use the dash just because the dash is simple. There is no shift key involved. It's just dash. And then the cool part too is you put a dash, you list your item, you hit enter, and automatically most editors will automatically add you that next dash for you. So you don't actually have to add that dash yourself. So I think that's really powerful as well. So you can use this for unordered list, and it just turns into a regular bullet, no matter if you use the dash, the plus, or the asterisk key. And a item can be bulleted in ordered list, and there can be sub items indented. So if you want to indent, if you want to have a sub bullet item, then you just have to indent 4 spaces. So you just space, 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 and then put your dash or your asterisk again, and it starts, it indents that within. It's really, really cool. Ordered list are very similar, but you just do 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. But every time you do this, it will automatically start a new list, and it will keep numbering them as you had them numbered before. So along with the unordered list, you can sub-bullet these, and when you indent 4 spaces, like the previous example, that indented sub-item will actually and come up with a new, a new number. Here in this example, it's 1.1. And then when we go back out to the regular line, then it shows 2. That it says that it's number 2. And so even if you use the numbers, like even if you went back and you looked at this ordered list, if you put 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you started another list and you said, you didn't break it up anyway, and you just put 1, 2, 3 again, it's going to continue the list until you actually break the text. And I'll show you that in the example as well. This one probably is my most favorite one, and I've been saying this, I think, for the last couple ones, but this one saves you a lot of time. Creating links. Creating links is always a pain in HTML when you're doing it, because you've got to wrap them, then you've got to put the actual text that's going to be displayed as the link. So basically how this works is you create in brackets, and the awesome part about using a markdown editor is if you put the left bracket, it automatically adds the right bracket, and then it puts a cursor right in the middle. So it saves you an extra step that way. So in this example, I wanted the link to say your website engineer. So I put that inside of brackets, and then I want the link to go to, and you put the link in parentheses and you say http://yourwebsiteengineer.com. And then if you want to, in quotation marks, you can put an alt tag. And so if somebody would hover over that link, it's going to say to the site. You wrap all of that, the link and the alt tag, in parentheses, and it just knows what to do. It automatically generates the content. It's really, really cool, really, really powerful. If you want to line up some code in your site, you know, like there's different times when I will display code on my website. I want it to be in a different text. You can surround inline text by using a backspace, or like the back, what's it called? It's not the apostrophe, it's the back apostrophe, whatever that is, back tick maybe. And so if you wanted to highlight some code in a different text, and I'll show you this in the example, you just put those back ticks around it. And then if you want to indent a whole block of code, you just indent several lines of code by putting four spaces in front of it. So it's a lot like some of the other things where it's indented by four spaces. Next is block quotes. And so you just preface the line with a greater than sign for the block quote. And then if you want to have a block quote nested inside of the block quote, then you would use another greater than sign. And then block quotes can also contain markdown. So if you wanted to wrap something in strong or italics or something like that inside the block quote, you can do that as well. And so you can see that example on the right-hand side, the entire paragraph of text is enclosed with the block quote element. And then you can wrap text, and it doesn't necessarily use the formatting that you put in the block text. You can see that right after the word text on the third line, I put a line break, and that will actually wrap the whole thing together. So the formatting is, it all wraps it within that block quote tag. Images have a very similar syntax when it comes to, very similar to what the links look like, but you just you precede everything with an exclamation point. So for example, if you wanted to have the alt text, you put that in brackets, or first you put in the exclamation point, and then you put in brackets, you put the alt text, and then in parentheses, you put the path to the image. And then if you want to have a title for that image, then you can put that in parentheses or in quotes as well after you put the link. So that makes it really simple for you to add an image as well if you know the direct path to your image. And I'll show you an example of that. A horizontal rule, you know, these ones aren't as hard to, or this one doesn't save you a lot of time, let's say, because if you are putting a horizontal rule on in your blog post or on your page, you know, that's basically less than, HR, greater than. That's all it takes. But if you want to be able to view your markdown code or view your markdown in a way that you can read it easily, you can use, you can create your own horizontal rule. And they're created by placing three or more hyphens, asterisks, or underscores in a line by themselves. So you can put spaces between them. As long as you have at least three of them in a row, it's going to create a long horizontal rule and just make your website kind of break up different sections of your blog post or the content that you are creating within Markdown. And then the cool thing is there are two ways to actually use Markdown. You can export the file as HTML if you like. It's kind of an extra step process if you like. If you want to save it, you can save it as HTML. Or you can use a WordPress plugin to convert to HTML. And one of the cool things is, like, you can just paste in your Markdown and WordPress will automatically change that information over to HTML, which is really cool. So let's go ahead and take a look at some of the programs that are out there. There's Markdown Pro, and this is one for the Mac. And this one cost, I want to say, like $10. I think the last time I looked on the Mac App Store, it was $10. But there's some free examples that we'll share here in just a second. But the cool thing is, like, you can see on the left-hand side of this screenshot is Markdown. And on the right-hand side of the screenshot is actually that's the generated HTML code. So you can see that the properties of water, that is actually an H1 tag. You can see that the H2 tag says special considerations, and then it's formatted to that H2 tag actually has the underline. You can see these things. I'll show you that in the example as well. And you can find out more about Markdown Pro at markdownpro.com. Now, the one that I typically use is the one called MAL, and this is a Mac program, and this is just a very basic look at what it looks like, and it's basically the exact same. On the left, you type up your content. On the right-hand side, you go in, and you can see exactly what's being generated. So you can see that the second line of code there on the left is an icon, and then on the right, it actually displays the icon. You can find out more about this at mouapp.com, mouapp.com. Dillinger.io is actually a website that you can go in. You can do the exact same thing. So you can go in and you can do everything online if you're a cloud type of service person. And so I've never used this one. I think it looks really cool. You can go in, do the exact same thing. Content is on the left that you're typing up yourself, and then the generated content of what it looks like is on the right. And then, of course, we've got one for the Windows machines as well. I guess back here, you can go to dillinger.io to find out more information about that. And then Markdown Pad can be found at markdownpad.com. And this is a free one for Windows. And you can go in and it does the exact same thing. I'm just showing you a couple different examples of what this type of stuff could look like. And there's tons of programs out there that you can go and buy and install. Those are some of the free ones. Other than the very first one I showed you, everything else is free. Totally worth it to go check out and start using yourself. So there's two WordPress plugins that I want to talk about. One is called Markdown on Save, and this compose content in the Markdown on a per item basis. So if you wanted to only write, you know, maybe you're writing a blog and a podcast show notes and you have video content, or you know, whatever, maybe you don't want to turn everything into Markdown. You don't want every post to be formatted as Markdown, or you're not pasting everything into Markdown. Basically, this gives you the ability to paste in your Markdown code specifically into WordPress, check the box that says this post is formatted with Markdown, and then save it, and it automatically generates your HTML code. Now, the cool part about this is the Markdown version is stored separately, so you can deactivate the plugin and it'll still display HTML. So it's really pretty cool, and this is faster than doing on-the-fly Markdown conversion for every page. And so how that works is it stores all your information, so you WordPress and your website, your database, all of your things are not actually having to change this from Markdown to HTML every single time somebody looks at your website. The other one is called WP-Markdown, and this allows Markdown to be enabled on posts, comments, and BB Press forums. So you have the ability to go in and say, oh, I want people to be able to comment and leave me Markdown type comments and different things like that. So you have a little bit more control here. And so WP-Markdown also stores the process HTML. So when you deactivate the plugin, it will not affect your posts, your comments, or your BB Press forums. So that's really powerful as well. So really exciting to use one or other. I'll show you exactly how I use it actually. So I don't use a plugin. I actually will go in and export the HTML and then paste that directly into my WordPress site. But I'll show you that in the live demo, which is going to start right now. So we'll start here with a brand new document. This is inside of MAL, like I said. And on the left, you will see what I'm typing. And on the right-hand side, you'll see what's automatically being generated by MAL. So if I wanted to start with a heading, I can say heading number one. I'll just say heading one. And then you can see how big that text is in comparison to the normal text that I would type. And so you can see it's automatically being generated. Sometimes it's a little slower. You know, it has to process itself. But if I went ahead and I put, let me do another heading, but I want to put the equal sign underneath it. And you can see that automatically it turns it green first off, or this bluish color, and then it on the right-hand side, it makes it bigger. If we wanted to do heading number two, we could do 2 pound signs and then heading two. And you can see that one indeed is smaller. Or we can do heading two, and then we can do the dashes underneath it. And once it's activated and once it recognizes it, then it turns it a different color. So we've done the headers. We can even do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, heading 6, And you can see that's much, much smaller. Now, if we wanted to start typing some text, and all of a sudden I want something that I'm actually going to italicize something, so I want to say italics, and then you can see that it does italicize it, and we'll keep typing our random gibberish, just keep typing, and then we want to bold something, and so we can say bold, and then it changes a color as well, so you can see it changes different colors. We can keep typing, we can say underscore italics. It turns a different color, and then it turns the different color on the right-hand side, and then we can say underscore, underscore, bold, underscore, underscore, and then again, it turns bold as well. And so you can see how easy this is. Like, I'm not even using the mouse. I don't even know where my mouse is on my computer right now, but I am just going ahead and start typing. Now, let's go ahead and do an unordered list. And so say I want bullet point one, we'll just say bullet one, and then I want bullet two and bullet three. And sure enough, it goes ahead and puts those bullets in. Say I wanted to have an indent, one, two, three, four, and then I could say sub bullet, let's say sub point one. And there's our sub points, and we can even go all the way back and we can say bullet four. And so it's as simple as that to create bulleted lists, which is really, really powerful. I mean, it saves you a lot of time. I haven't once typed one of these brackets yet. And so we're just working through the different things that we learned. Now, the next one is an ordered list. And so you basically can start one, and we'll say item one, and we'll say item two, and we can say item three, and we can say one, two, three, four spaces in, and we can just put number one, and we can say item one, item two, and then even if we go back here, we can say four, or we can say one again, and we can say item four, and it is, why are these not, I'm confusing myself. Now, why are they not bulleted? You can see over here on this side that they're not bulleted. So of course my own demo's goofing up. There we go. You can't have a space in there, I don't think, maybe. And the live demo goes junky. Anyways, let's move on, and we'll come back to the ordered list. For some reason, that one just isn't working right. If we want to do a link, say we want to link to your websiteengineer.com, like we did the example, we can put a bracket. Notice I pressed the bracket once, and it displayed both of them. We can say your website engineer, and then in parentheses, and when you hit the opening parenthesis, it actually puts the closing parenthesis there, and I can put http://yourwebsiteengineer.com, and that's there, and we can say your website engineer. And when we hover over this, that's when it's going to display your website engineer right there in that tag. So that's an easy way to put a link. If you had another one, you could easily say link and just put that inside your text. Maybe you are, you're writing a paragraph, you got a bunch of information you want to put a link in, and you just put that link right there. And then you can say http://, and then just you can fill that in later, whatever. So you have that link right inside the text, and you're not having to put, you're not using the greater than sign or less than sign, any of those types of things. So that's how you do a link. That one's pretty simple. If you wanted to do some code, you use the backticks, remember? So let's say we wanted to display something just a little bit differently inside our text, and we know that code we know that there is a, we've predefined the code in our, as a style within our CSS. So we could say here is some, and then put a backtick and say code, and then a backtick. And then you can see on the right, it transforms it and makes it look a little bit different. So some more gibberish right here. Now, if I had a whole block of code, you actually indent four spaces, 1, 2, 3, 4. And we can say, maybe if I wanted to do some PHP, I could just say PHP, here's some code, here's some more code, here's some more code, here's some more code, and then I can close PHP. And then I hit enter, and then move down to the next line. And that will close up our block. And so you always have to leave extra spaces between things. That's just the way that it works within this program specifically. It could be different in different programs, but I've just found that sometimes things won't work unless you give it an extra space down below. Now, let's say you wanted to do a block quote. Maybe you had something that you wanted to quote and you wanted to do a block quote inside of your website. And so you use the greater than sign and you can say, here is a block quote. And right there is the block quote. And you can put more gibberish there if you want. And it's automatically going to display it over there on the right-hand side. And then the last one, or getting close to the last one, we can do an image. And we start that with an exclamation point. And then we put in brackets, we put the alt text. So here is an image. And then after that, we use the parentheses. And then we will say http://. yourwebsiteengineer.com/albumart. I know this is an image, a PNG, and then I can give it a title as well if I want to. So here is the title. And so if we go here and we can hover over this, and it says, here is the title. So you can do all of that. And then let's say, for example, we want to put a horizontal rule back in between after this link here. We can go here and it's any three spaces or any three asterisks, dashes, or underscores. So we can do that. We can do three like so. And you notice there, I did accidentally hit the parenthesis, the open parenthesis, and it makes it a pain because when you hit the backspace, it only backspaces one. It doesn't backspace both of them. So that's kind of a nuisance there. We can put in maybe an H1 tag here and say hi in between. So we've got a lot of flexibility on how this code works. Now you can see that on this left-hand side here, this is what Markdown looks like. This is how our code looks. And you can see that it is pretty readable. You can see here at the top that, hey, this is a bullet, or you know, this is a, especially with the headings, with the underscores, or with with the equal sign underneath, you can tell that's a header. And with one, you can tell that's a header level number two. And then most of the stuff is pretty well easy to be read. Now, I'm not sure exactly why this is not working like I thought it was supposed to, but maybe it's because I don't have a... There we go. It was still adding the text from, it was still thinking it was a bulleted list. So we should be able to go back here. 1, 2, 3, I'll put the space in here and you can tell when it turns blue, then it is indeed a good item. And then we can back up and we can see that even if we put number one there and number two here, it's going to continue the, I don't think this is 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And it continues the numbering scheme over here. So even though I put a number one down here, it's displaying number four because it's part of the same list. So you don't necessarily have to put the right number there. I could put this a 6 here and a 7 here, and it's still going to display the next number in the chronological sequence. So that's really pretty powerful. And then next, I want to show you how to get this into WordPress. There are a couple different ways. What I like to do, the easiest way for me personally, is I go into actions and say copy HTML. If I do that and copy it, and then go back over to Google Chrome and go into I've just got a local website running here. I can say add new. I can say markdown copied. And then from the text menu, the old HTML menu, you can go ahead and just hit paste. And you can see that it's got H1, it's wrapped, it's got the HR tag in there, it's got the code, it's all wrapped within all of the text. We can go ahead and publish that. And then let's go ahead and open a new tab and view that. And you can see that it's using all the style. Now, I'm using WordPress 2011 theme. And so the heading one, the heading two kind of look the same. Heading six is a little different. But you can tell that here's the italicized text. Here is the bolded text. Here's my bullet items. Here is the way that it takes the order list into consideration. In this example, on this website, it makes the indented ones A and B, and that's 100% set up in your style.css. Here's the link. If you hover over it, it's going to say your website engineer. We can have the link right here. Here is another line, and we've got the H1 tag in there. Here's what the code looks like. You can tell that this code is a different formatted text than the rest of it. It looks just a little different. This is a block quote or a block of actual text. Here's the block quote that we did. And once again, these are all, they're all pulling in the styles from the style.css for this specific theme. And then we've got the image right here, and that's exactly how it looks. Now, we could, and let's go ahead and let's add a new one. And let's just say this is just going to be called Markdown, and I'm going to Markdown Pasted. And we'll just call this Pasted, and we can go back into MAU, and we can just highlight this, copy it, and then go back into Google Chrome and paste that. So we're still using the Markdown syntax here. We don't have this formatted as HTML, but then we can go up here and we can click this little button. This is actually one of the plugins that I talked about, and it will go in and will actually go ahead and change all that information. So we can say publish there. We can go and view this post, and it's going to look exactly the same. Now, this plugin that we are running is called, I want to make sure that I've got the right one that we're calling you. I think that one is the Markdown on Save. And so that allows you to compose everything in Markdown, and then you can automatically change that over to, from Markdown, you can change that to HTML very easily. Now, another thing that you can do, you don't have to go out and get a specific program whatsoever. I mean, you can actually start writing your Markdown right inside of here. You know, you start typing, you know, whatever you want, and then you click that, click the button over here to make sure that it automatically saves and knows that WordPress knows that you are writing in Markdown. So whenever you hit save, it will publish it in HTML. And so that's kind of the example that I want to show you. Some of the cool things within MAU itself is you can go in under the preferences, and you can do this on most of the other ones, and you can go in and you can change your themes from tomorrow to maybe night or to night plus. Let's close this, and you can see that indeed this color is different on this side. And so you can just go and you can change these to make sure whatever one looks best for your eyes. It's always about, you know, making sure that everything is easy to write on. It's not painful for your eyes to write. I kind of like the tomorrow just because it's a little bit darker. It doesn't take as much brightness on the screen. It just makes my eyes feel just a little bit better. So that is kind of what Markdown is. It's very simple. It's not a real complicated thing, but you can see how much time you can save by not having to type all those brackets and highlighting and copying and pasting and doing all these types of things. So I think that you can see that it does save a lot of time. So with that, let's go ahead and turn it to any questions. If you have anything, type them in the chat box now and we'll go ahead and answer them. Good question by Kevin. He asked, how do you set the target in a link? And I don't know if you even can do that. I don't think you can within Markdown, but what I have done, and this is just a secret from me, what I do is I have a text expander script that writes out very simply that says, if I type out TTB, and I'll show you right here, it's going to look kind of weird, but I can go, let's actually do this in Chrome. Let me pull up Chrome here in a second. What I would do if I wanted to target in a different, if I wanted to open up a link in a new window, what I would do is I would go in here. Let's see. Let's do this one that's we copied in the HTML text. So here is a link. Where's the link? Here's the link right here. And then what I would do is I go in here, and this is just a manual process. I would go in and I type TDB, and that actually expands. I'm using Text Expander, and expands to target equals underscore blank. And so I don't do that a lot with my own blog posts. I don't link to a lot to outside stuff. But when I do, I manually go in here and do this. And I still find that using Markdown and then adding those couple things, because I always will go in and tweak things depending on how it looks within my own theme. I'll go back and I'll add that. Great question, Kevin. And then Robert asked, what was the CSS tab on the MAU preferences option? So let's go back into MAU, into the preferences, into CSS. And then I think that is going to just display this side. So if you wanted to make things look like GitHub, or you probably, what you can do, you might be able to, and I haven't done this, maybe you can go in and you can edit it. And yeah, you can see it pulls up here, and you can actually put in your, you can probably put in your own HTML or your own CSS from your own website. So then it would actually load and make it look exactly like that. That's really cool. I didn't even realize that was a feature or a thing. And it looks like, let me open this. It doesn't look like there's any tagging or anything. So you basically can create your style.css. You can just make a local copy of it and drag it in here and call it your theme. And then it will automatically pull that up, because it's just pulling the name that's whatever's right before the .css. That is a great question. I think I will do that myself so that I can see exactly what it looks like inside this editor. Joseph asked, do you think this will soon replace BBC? And I guess I'm not 100% familiar with what BBC is. Can you explain that a little bit more? Yeah, and Paul says, you could even combine Text Expander with Markdown to make even a better workflow. Yeah, indeed. You can totally do that. You can even expand out, even if you wanted to, like make it even super simpler yet. There's just so many ways to use Text Expander. I use Text Expander a lot by actually, I'll just show you here. Like I have href for a link, I can put aahref and that expands. And so then I would type a link, and then I can over twice, or I could over once here, and then I could put ttb if I wanted it to be, and then I would put here's the link name. And so I could do that. And the cool part too is you can see that this link is actually still a link. So if you have HTML within your inside your Markdown, it's still going to work when you generate your HTML code. So that's really pretty cool. It's a really neat way to integrate both different features, or both languages, if you will. You can see too, like what I wanted to share too is, I'm going to look here. You have headers is one. How to do italics and bold is two. You have unordered lists, you have ordered lists, you have links, you have code, you have block quotes, you have images, you have horizontal rules. That's just 9 syntaxes that you have to learn and memorize. And it's as simple as that. Once you have those in your head, then you no longer need, that's it. Like, it's crazy. Like CSS, there's hundreds of commands to remember. In HTML, there's different things to remember. PHP, there's hundreds or thousands, you know, of different commands and functions and things like that. Markdown is so simple. There's only 9 things to learn and learn and understand. And Joseph says it's also used in forums. So that's the BBC. I don't know if it's going to replace it or not. Markdown has actually been around for quite some time, you know, a few years, and I really haven't heard of too many people using it, and they're starting to come out with more applications that are using it as a main method of writing. I know that there's a journaling program called Day One that you can write in Markdown, really cool. But I don't know if it's going to replace BBC or not. I really don't know. You never know where technology is going to go, but I've fallen in love with it, and I really, really enjoy it. And then Robert says, any way to specify image dimensions? And what is a good Text Expander program to use? To answer the first question, to specify image dimensions, I don't think that there's that built in either. I mean, that's just another case, and you know, a special case. Most of the time, especially for me, when I'm adding images to my blog post, they are the exact size that I need anyways. That's just one way that I make sure that my site loads quickly, is to right size the image in Photoshop, or I actually use Acorn on my Mac I do that before I upload the image, and then I don't have to worry about that. But you can, once again, you can go in, you can create that image. I don't know if we can, I mean, we can try it. We can say that here's the image title. What happens if we say width equals, I don't know if this will work or not, 10 pics. 10? Yeah, it didn't do anything here, but those would be something, those would be extra things that you would, could go in and you could tweak within within your HTML once it's been copied into WordPress. A good program, a text expander program to use is called, there's one on the Mac, it's called Text Expander. If there's anyone else that has other suggestions, go ahead and type those in the questionnaire and I'll read those off. But that's a, I love Text Expander, and I can pull that Text Expander up with a short code right here. Text Expander actually has a lot of snippets that you can use for HTML and CSS. That's something I just learned yesterday, I believe. Good friend Adam, who's on the webinar here, he was the one that pointed that out. You can download a whole bunch of different different snippets, but in my snippet area, I have all of these different ones that I've set up at one time. Some of them I don't use. You can see here that I have text expander snippets for ULs and LIs because I'm too lazy to type those greater than an equal sign. So to open a UL, I use UUUL, and then to close it is UULL. So now I don't have to use those anymore since I'm using Markdown. But text expander, you can see in here, I've got statistics that I save 10 hours of time if I am an 80 words per minute type of guy. If I'm 100 words per minute, then I've actually saved 8 hours and 51 minutes. I've saved over 255,000 characters for me typing it. So that's really kind of cool. That's one good thing for Markdown, or that's one thing that you can use for Text Expander that is Mac only, I believe. And hopefully we've got a couple comments in here that will be Windows appropriate. Daniel says, he said that I read that Markdown is not a replacement for HTML. It's just a quick way to format text with some basic functionality. Yeah, I should have said that earlier too. It's not a way to completely stop using HTML. It's just a way to quickly generate HTML without actually having to go in and type all those things. So it's not going to replace HTML in any way, shape, or form, but this is a great way, especially for blog posts or short things that you want some formatting to, but you don't want to spend a lot of time inside of the window. You know, you don't want to wrap things in all those different crazy tags. Paul says Text Expander is the best. I agree. That's the only one that I use. Robert asks, how about image maps or sprites? Can I use those with Markdown? Once again, I don't think so. I mean, like we said, what Daniel said, that it is kind of, Markdown is reserved for very basic stuff. So we're not trying, like, think of a blog post. How often in a blog post would you actually put image sprites or even a image hover over image or an image map? I mean, that's not going to happen real, real often. This is primarily just to write blog posts, blog pages, things like that. For website creation, for building themes, for modifying your themes, for anything that has to do with, you know, your website itself, those are what's going to, you're going to want to use regular HTML and not worry about Markdown. Markdown specifically used to easily create HTML content in a blog post type thing. Any more questions? Any suggestions on how to use another text expander program? I know there are other ones out there. Adam, why aren't you Googling that? Brevi, I think, is one for Windows. Let's see. Yep, Brevi is a text expander for Windows. That is it's free to try. You have a free 30-day trial, and you can buy it now for $35. I forget what text expander, let's see, text expander, what that one runs. That one's $35 as well. Money, totally worth it. I use that a lot too. If I'm working on a website for a client and I want, you know, it's got a long name that I'm using over and over and over again, I go ahead and I just reuse, you know, I create a short snippet that I'll use and then I'll delete it when I'm done with that project. So that's really powerful and awesome as well. Any other questions? Phrase Express, I think that is, another one for Windows. That one will work. It's just all a matter of finding the tool that works well for you. So I'm loving using a handful of different tools. Text Expander is one of my favorites. I use every day. I expand my email address out. How lazy am I? Like, I can't even type out my email address. I put DDH and that expands into dustin@heartsordm.com. If I want to, dustin@yourwebsiteengineer.com is DDW. yourwebsiteengineer.com. See, I'm so lazy. I can't even type out my email. Granted, my email addresses are long, so it does take a little bit to type them out, but every form, everything that needs my email address, DDH, and I'm done. The problem is with Text Expander, different tools like this, we get used to using on our Macs, and then we go to somebody else's Mac, you know, especially me, I'm on my wife's computer some, and I go DDH, and I'm like, oh, that doesn't work. I actually have to type out my entire email address. What a pain and what a drag. But that's something that is just another tool that I found very, very helpful. It saves me tons of time using repeatable content that I use over and over. And it's got a lot of times too, like I forget what short code that I've used for different things. So if I use command and it's right bracket, it actually pulls up my Text Expander window and I can go in and I can search. So maybe LLIB, I know, for example, is my library card number. I have to put that into the computer every once in a while, and I don't want to memorize that. So LLIB will expand that out for me. So that's really powerful for me. I mean, it saves me lots and lots of time. If there aren't any other questions, I'll give it one more second. Another one for Windows, Daniel says, is Jitbit, J-I-T-B-I-T. .com. So you can go and check that one out. That's another one that's out there. But if there's no other questions, we're going to wrap up just a few minutes earlier today. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I hope that this has at least opened your eyes a little bit about how cool Markdown is and how you can save time by using Markdown. I know that I thought it was kind of crazy before. I didn't think it was exactly what I wanted or was never going to use it. But now that I have been using it, I don't think I'm ever going to go back to just writing HTML. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up. And there will be another webinar happening on April 5th. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to be talking about. If you do want to, before you leave, if you want to suggest a topic, I'd love to hear what you'd like to learn. I'm thinking about a couple different ideas I have in mind, but I haven't really locked it down. So if you have any ideas, let me know and I'll take it into consideration. I love doing these things. I love hanging out with you guys in the mornings or the afternoons or the evenings, whatever time it is for wherever you are in the world. And I just love creating content and sharing it with you. And if you've signed up, you will get a copy of this in email later today, hopefully. I'm working on like 9 different things today. One of them being a standing desk. I know not everybody's as interested in building a standing desk as I am, but I will be building mine this afternoon. And so be watching out for pictures and thoughts on an upcoming episode. So with that is going to be a wrap. I'm going to look one more time for questions. And jitbit.com/auto/text-expander-4-windows, if you want to go to that URL. Thanks, Paul, for coming and hanging out. Thanks, guys, for interacting and leaving your questions. I'm still trying to figure out how to use the chat feature in GoToMeeting. Not exactly sure how that works, and I'd love to be able to have everybody chat with each other, but for some reason that's not a feature that you can do within GoToWebinar. So with that, we're going to wrap up. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you sometime online or at the next webinar on April 5th at the same great time, 10 a.m. Eastern, and then whatever time zone that you're in, that's what time it is. So with that, have a great weekend, take care, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.